So I put him down, and I thought, if he's down, he already hurt me, I'm going to hurt him. So I started stomping him, and I thought, you're not going to get back up. And so finally the gang leader said, time out. He said, get out of here.
Stai Gute. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear the rest of Robert DeCora's story. Robert is an elder who grew up in the heart of Chicago. We pick up where he left off shortly after he joined a gang.
So I had a friend, and he said he's going to become an aristocrat, and I hadn't thought about it, and he says, would you like to go with me? So I went with him, and they accepted us, and I would become a gang member. Now, during that time, you experience violence. All growing up, I'd been attacked with knives a number of times. One time, somebody running at me and my friends running from me. And he had a knife, and he's ready to plunge it in me. And I jumped as high as I could get in the air. I mean, high. And I kicked with all my might, caught him in the chest. And the knife went flying. And he just sat there cursing me out, didn't do anything. Well, he was Golden Gloves, and he was also a wrestler. So a week later, he challenged me, and there we go again. But during the gangs, I'd end up being forced into a fight. What had happened is we're sitting on church steps, all getting drunk, and some guy said, could you move down and stuff? Why? I'm rapping to this girl. I said, yeah, I'll move down. So the leader calls me over and says, what do you do? He says, I mean, the man's rapping to his girl. You going to take that? Take what? He said, move down the step. You don't take that. And I says, well, it don't bother me. He says, you either fight him or you fight me. Take your pick. So I went over to him and I pushed him. He kicked me, hit me. I went down. And I'd practice fighting. I'd practice judo, karate, anything. My dad, sad to say, would go out because he's drinking a lot on the weekends. He'd have a billy club on him. He'd have brass knucks on him. Or he'd have a chain around his waist. Because in Chicago, somebody just walk up and hit you. And so that happened. And so finally I said, you gonna hurt me? Inside, I'm going to hurt you. So I put him down, and I thought, if he's down, he already hurt me, I'm going to hurt him. So I started stomping him, and I thought, you're not going to get back up. And so finally the gang leader said, time out. He said, get out of here. Within a month or two, we got into a gang war. And during that gang war, I'd get shot. It began in a dance club, and there were about maybe 40 of them, and there was only maybe about 8 of us. We were in an alliance, gang alliance. There were 3 of our gangs together. And that night, our alliance broke up. And a fight between one leader and another person happened in the alley. And later that night, here comes about 50 of them. And so 2 volunteers said, we're going to start the calling and we're going to go get the guns. And so they went and got the guns. They didn't get back in time. There was only 5 of us young men. There were 2 women. And we're running, 5 of us against 50. And we get within a half a city block of them. And the gang leader on our side says, bring out the shotguns. And we didn't have a gun with us. They brought out theirs. The next thing I heard was boom. And I could feel myself getting sprayed. And when I heard that, I was running so fast until my feet hit the ground. I'd been running in midair. I never could do that the rest of my life. Tried that. When you get shot, trust me, you can do things you never thought you could. Because we didn't have guns, we scattered, and that then started a gang war for about a month. And I thought, this is crazy. I'm going to go to hell in a hurry. And so what ended up happening is about that time I had this dream, and God used it to get my attention. And it was a family member who had died. And in that dream, out of darkness he came, and I was standing under a light pole in light. And I said, "You're dead. You're dead. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in hell." But sad to say, the family member had been an alcoholic, and in my mind's eye, as a young person growing up, I thought, well, you're probably not going to heaven, you're going to hell. He says, "Well, I've come to ask you something." He said, "What do you want to know? Will you go to hell with me?" I said, "I won't go to hell with you." He says, "Will your brother and sisters go to hell?" I said, "They won't go to hell with you." And he said, "Will your parents go?" And to be honest with you, I didn't know, because it's alcoholism and everything else that goes with it. And I said, "I don't know." He said, "I'll ask." He went out into the darkness, and I waited and waited and waited. And finally, he came back out of the darkness into the light, and I said, "Did you find my parents?" He says, "Yes, I did." I said, "What did my mom say?" "She won't go with me." I said, "What did my dad say?" I was terrified, scared to death. "He won't go with me." He said, "I guess I have to go to hell by myself. I have to go alone." And I woke up, and I began reading the Bible and searching for a year and a half. Didn't understand how to go to heaven. I knew I was going to hell. I'd be getting drunk and high with my friends, sitting there in the car at this point, 17 years old. And I'd say, "Man, what's it going to be like burning in hell? What are you talking about?" I said, "You don't live like us and go to heaven." I searched that Bible. I didn't know. And then one day at this time, I was out of the street gang. I'm now president of fraternity club, and I'm going on what's called the ohm date, and we're getting high, and I'm thinking, what's life about? Getting rich. I looked at the rich people. They're not happy. Getting a good job. Well, getting a good job's very important, but that don't seem to create great happiness. And I looked at everything. Partying, that's all I knew, partying growing up. I said, "That's not much." And it dawned on me. Somehow, I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. Somehow, Jesus made it possible. He died for me. It just came to me. And so, in my heart of hearts, because I've been searching, and I'm getting stoned, I said, "You have to decide something." So I left that party early, and I told my date, "We're leaving." And we left. And the next morning, I went to church. And in my heart of hearts, I knew I'd make a decision. If I was going to go to the spirit world and end up where the evil people go, then I would end up in the flames of hell. Then I was determined to burn right. Go ahead and just live sinful. If I was going to go to the spirit world and go to heaven, then I was going to give my heart to Jesus. And to be honest with you, I did not know what that meant. But at the very end, the pastor said, "Is there a decision you need to make? Come forward." And I went forward. He says, "What do you want?" I said, "I want God." So I knelt down and prayed by myself. And I said, "Jesus, oh Jesus, you died for me on that cross. You came back from the dead for me. I don't know what I'm doing other than ask you to forgive me my sins. And Lord Jesus, please take me to heaven. Please change me." And he entered my life. He entered my heart. I'd not really been what I call a rock solid believer. I knew about God, been taught about him, but didn't know that much about him. But I knew that I knew him. I'd experienced him. I felt him in my heart. and more than anything, I wanted to learn to love him as he loved me. And so that became my journey. Within a couple of weeks, my sister would give her heart to Jesus. Within a few months, my other sister gave her heart to Jesus. Within a couple of more months, my sister, and it become vitally important, walking up those steps, I shared with her how Jesus loved her and a friend prayed to receive Jesus. And sad to say, after giving her heart to Jesus when she was about 16 or 17 years old, would die at 33 in childbirth. And that, to me, gave me so much comfort that she was with Jesus. And then it'd be over 20-something years later, my dad would mock me for being a Christian. And he'd just laugh at me. He found out that he had cancer, and I prayed and prayed for him, went to talk to him on the reservation where he was living. And he began to laugh at me, and I said, "Dear God, I hadn't prayed for my dad so hard for him to go to hell mocking me while he's dying." And 8 days later or so, when I was there getting up, he had my Bible on his lap. And God gave me the opportunity to say, "I love you, Dad. I appreciate everything you've ever done for me. You know you're dying from cancer. I know that. So I want you to know, thank you for being my dad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But Daddy, just don't be have to be the last time. Can I tell you how we can hug each other and be with each other's family again?" He said, "Would you, son?" So I told him the story of how I'd found peace knowing the Lord Jesus. And he began to pray, "Dear God, dear God." And my mother began praying, "Forgive me of my sins." And they both prayed, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me." They both prayed, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Give me a home in heaven." And the exciting thing is, I'd shared with my dad and my mom listening that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever that my dad or mom would believe in him, they should not perish. They don't have to go to hell, but have everlasting life in heaven above. My dad would die 2 years later. 2 weeks ago, my mother had been judged by the coroner to have died of COVID. The thing that gives my heart comfort is she made peace with God, the God who sent his son to die on the cross. And if you are trusting in any other thing, and many of us try good works or ceremonies or rituals or just anything, I invite you to come to the only one whose name can save you. I invite you to trust in Jesus. And what a peace you can have, just as my parents had peace when they passed, knowing where they were going, to heaven.
My friend, what about you? Will you have peace when your time here is over? Will heaven be your home? You can say yes if you're trusting in Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.